Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was thinking about our gospel text for today throughout the week, I kept pondering what is it trying to get from us? What is this text trying to do for us? What is the Holy Spirit seeking in our lives with this text? And it's at that point that I stumbled, literally stumbled, upon the intro and the collect for today. If you ever want to know what the Sunday that you're coming to church for is about, turn in your hymnal to the collect and the intro for the day, and it will announce to you the theme of the gospel lesson, the hymns, and all of the other particulars of the service. And so, what does our text say? It says that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord, by the worlds where the heavens made. Rejoice in the Lord, for praise is comely for the upright. And then the collect goes and it prays that he would grant unto his faithful ones perpetual gladness, and to cause us to be partakers of eternal joys. So that's really what the Lord is driving at in his talk about being the good shepherd. He wants to fill us with gladness, cause us to rejoice in the Lord. And remember, as good Lutherans, we know this. All of our works which we endeavor to do are but a thanksgiving to the Lord for the multitude of his blessings to us. That's what the life of good works among Christians is really all about. Gratitude and thanksgiving and praise to God for his manifold goodness to us in Jesus Christ. So what does Jesus say about him being the good shepherd? Number one, he says that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he does this in order to save us from the wolf. All right, what does the wolf do? The wolf catches the sheep and scatters the one that he can't catch. All right? So the wolf will either devour you or he will try to scatter you away from your shepherd and from the flock. We see this very often in the life of people. They give themselves over to sin and doubt, and they wander away from the Word of God. And one day somebody says to somebody else, "Whatever happened to so-and-so? They used to be here all the time." You know, it's so easy for the wolf to scatter the flock, the ones that he doesn't catch. Now, who's the wolf? Well, I think you know, but just to be specific, the wolf is actually three things. Right? Number one, the wolf is sin. Right? The wolf is sin. And sin puts us under the judgment of God. All right? Sin causes us to be condemned by the law of God. So, in one sense, the wolf is sin. The second thing that the wolf is death. We live in a world where everyone dies and everything rusts. Right? We all live in this world heading for that inevitable grave. Right? And the Lord has come and laid down his life to save us from the wolf of death. All right, by granting us eternal life. And of course, the third and most nefarious aspect of the wolf is the devil. The devil who seeks to undermine our faith by accusing us of sin and causing us to falter in our trust in the gospel. And the devil who holds before us all the things that the flesh desires and all the things that the world offers. And the devil says, look at what you can have. All right? And by doing that, the devil doesn't want to give us anything. The devil wants to drag us down to eternal damnation with himself. So, when the wolf catches the sheep and scatters the sheep, the wolf is sin, death, and in particular, the devil. And Jesus is the good shepherd because he has laid down his life, and through his sacrificial death on the cross, he has redeemed us from sin. He has delivered us from eternal death. And he has rescued us from the dominion of the devil, so that now we belong to God, and now we are God's dear children, along with Jesus Christ, our Lord and our brother. He lays down his life for the sheep, and we are safe. All right, that's number one. Number two is about the Good Shepherd, is found a little further on in our gospel lesson in verses 28 and 29, where Jesus says, he talks about his sheep and he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Alright? So the second thing about the Good Shepherd is, and it's of course related to the first, he gives us eternal life. Eternal life begins for you in your baptism. In your baptism, our Heavenly Father comes to you and receives you into His own family, into the kingdom of grace, and grants you the gift of the Holy Ghost, so that you are born anew by the power of God. And so you are given eternal life. You say, well, I don't really feel all that eternal, right? Sometimes we feel very temporal. But listen, we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, can you imagine what it would be like, how successful evangelism would be, if every time somebody got converted to the faith, their head would glow? You know, and it would be manifestly, you know, like those old paintings with the halos. You know, it would be really easy to do evangelism, you know, because all those people without glowing heads, you know, would look at us and they'd say, of course, right? I want a glowing head, right? But we walk by faith and not by sight. But listen, don't doubt for a minute that you have everlasting life. It began in you in your baptism. It is sustained in you whenever you, hearing God's word, receive the ministration and gifts of the Holy Ghost. And certainly, when you kneel at the Lord's altar, which is a foretaste of the feast to come, we are feasting on the guarantee of our place in eternal glory with Jesus Christ. Now again, you know, we have that hymn in our hymnal that says, but here we have no boon on earth. To the world, Holy Communion just looks like a silly activity where people go forward, kneel down, and eat a little piece of cracker and have a little sip of wine. right? And it looks so weak, so beggarly, and so useless to the world. But Jesus is in these things. The Lord has instituted this. It is not simply just a big audiovisual aid that we do week by week in order to remind ourselves of things, but it is where Jesus Christ himself, with all the eternal life that he possesses and that he came into the world to give, he encounters us there and he gives us of himself and he gives us the benefits of his suffering, death, and resurrection. So we may not be able to see it. It may not be patently obvious to the eyes of the flesh and reason, but we have eternal life from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and we will never, never perish. All right? So eternal life begins now and carries all the way through the gate of death into eternity. Right? And we will never perish, and no one will pluck us out of his hand. And that brings us to the third aspect of Jesus being the Good Shepherd. He says, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own and am known of mine. All right. Now, earlier in the chapter, you know, because the whole chapter here, 10, is about the Good Shepherd. Earlier in the chapter, in verse 3, he says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And so, that first thing, he calleth us by name. When he says that he knows his sheep, he doesn't mean it in a general sense. He means it in the most intimate sense. The Lord Jesus, sitting at the right hand of God and manifesting his presence among us, he knows everything about you. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He knows the secret things that you dare not even mention to those who are closest to you. He knows all about it. And he is for your good and benefit. The Lord doesn't come to you with his knowledge in order to destroy. He comes to help, to forgive, to enable you by his grace to flourish in the security that he gives. Now, you know, there's a difference between carnal security and spiritual security. When a person thinks this, a person goes, all right, when I was a baby, I was baptized. And my parents dragged me to Sunday school for a few years, but I started to complain like crazy. And so they finally just gave up and stopped sending me to Sunday school. So I never really was confirmed. My family weren't church members, so I never really became a church member. But I was baptized. All right? Buddy, you're kidding yourself. All right? That's carnal security. Carnal security is the expectation of God's grace without faith. The expectation of God's grace without repentance. You know, you're living a life in sin, you're indifferent to God, you wouldn't go to church if somebody paid you to do it, but you think that just because you've been baptized, you're in like Flynn? That's carnal security. That's not spiritual security. Spiritual security is when a penitent believer takes comfort in their baptism, takes comfort in the word of the gospel, and takes comfort in the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament. Not somebody who presumes that just because they were once baptized that they're eternally safe and secure. That's carnal security. Real spiritual security is when we have genuine faith in the Lord. Now, yes, the Lord imparts these gifts to us in baptism, in the gospel, and in the sacraments. But if we persist in despising them and setting them aside, we lose the blessings. Now, God never abandons us, but we abandon Him. All right? And when we finally do come to repentance and return to the Lord, we don't have to get re-baptized. We can simply return to the Lord who never left us. All right? We can come back to the gifts that we once possessed but learned to despise, and we can now rejoice in them and benefit from them. That is true spiritual security. There's a lot of presumption that goes in the name of faith, which isn't faith at all. And then, thankfully, there are the sheep of God whom He calls by name and who listen to His voice and follow where He leads. So, He gathers us into His fold and He leads us. All right, now listen. That's the good shepherd. He lays down His life for the sheep. He gives us eternal life, and He knows us, and we know Him by His grace. All right? We have true spiritual security in the gospel, in the sacraments, not because we presume upon them, but because we rejoice in God's gift to us in them. Now, let me bring it to a close by saying, so what about the sheep? What about Christ's sheep? Number one, Christ's sheep believe on Him. That is, they have heard the word and they are brought to faith in that word by the work of God the Holy Ghost. That's number one. Number two, the sheep are secure in Jesus Christ. Notice that it says in our text, "My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand." You have been given to Jesus by the Father. That means your salvation didn't begin with you. It began with the good and gracious will of God and with the work of Jesus Christ, and you are a child of God and a believer because of the work of God upon and for and to you, not because you got a good idea one morning. You see, you are secure in Jesus because you have been given to Jesus by His Father, and that means you are one of God's chosen. The other thing is this, you have been gathered. Jesus said, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Right? Jesus gathers us by baptism, by the gospel. He gathers us into His one flock, the true Christian believers. And He grants us in His church to be secure in the grace of God and the mercy of God. And finally, the sheep are unpluckable. All right? That's how secure you are in Jesus Christ. Jesus said of His sheep, "No one shall pluck them out of my hand. And furthermore, no one will pluck them out of my Father's hand." Right? So we are truly secure in the intention, work, and will of God, who began a good work in us and will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.